Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. It's Jim Laskowski's birthday. Happy birthday, Jim. So he called in to request Matthew Sweet. So we'll get to hear three Matthew Sweet songs this morning, which is awesome. Where You Get Love was the first one, and happy birthday to Jim. And you can get in, too, 312-981-7200. How's everybody doing? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower, here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cocker. I almost said Steve King. you know why? Because I was looking at some of these lists here of the best and worst movie adaptations of books, and Stephen King is all over these. Stephen King is all over these things, so that's why I had that name in my head. No, but it's Steve Cochran, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 o'clock, and that's exactly what we're talking about. What are some of the movies that did justice to some of your favorite books, and what are some of the movies that you absolutely hated because they ruined the book? They just didn't get the book right. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, all of them. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Love to hear your thoughts on this. To start it all off, though, there are 11 authors here that I have in front of me that hated the movie versions of their books. And we're going to talk about that first. And then, we want to hear from you as well with your favorite and least favorite movie adaptations. 312-981-7200. All right. First on this list is P.L. Travers, who hated the movie version of Mary Poppins. I never read the Mary Poppins. I've never read the book. I mean, obviously, I've seen the movie. I think everybody has seen the movie. And the movie's, the movie's fine. I don't know. It's fine for kids. Disney's Mary Poppins might be cherished a childhood memory for a lot of us, but author P.L. Travers, it was a complete slap in the face. Despite having script approval, Travers' edits were largely disregarded. Travers loathed the movie's animated sequences and was perturbed that Mary Poppins' strict side was downplayed. After some heated meetings, Travers reluctantly approved. She would have been shunned from the star-studded premiere had she not shamed a Disney exec into an invite. The 65-year-old Travers spent most of the movie crying and ultimately refused to let Disney touch the rest of the series. And this later became a movie, Saving Mr. Banks, with Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney. And there is a Poppins sequel in the works. Have you seen that movie? Dan, did you see that movie, Saving Mr. Banks?
I did see that movie.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that it was as made up as you know, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, really sweet, heartfelt moments. Like, the moment she starts tapping her toes to the music, it's just, that's a really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
It probably didn't happen.
And all of that, all of the charming byplay between her giving her notes and, you know, talking, being there on set, that, no. And that was Emma Thompson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of love Emma Thompson. She's so good. So, Esmeralda, are you a fan of Mary Poppins? Did you see Mary Poppins when you were a kid?
I remember, actually, in my middle school, we had to do a concert of all the Disney movies.
Whoa.
Disney movie songs.
Whoa, what did you do? Okay, what'd you do?
I remember Spoonful of Sugar.
Yes.
We had to do the Mickey Mouse Club song at the end. I'm trying to think what else. There's a couple more, I think, Mary. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious,
yeah.
I forget what else.
Oh. See a little concert there. How old were
you? I would probably say, I want to say maybe like 8 or 9.
Oh,
okay. We all had to wear Mickey ears and our Disney outfits.
Was this videotaped?
Probably.
By your
not,
folks?
Not my parents, but
no?
Someone probably has a copy somewhere.
Maybe we can find that somewhere and play it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, the cats would enjoy that. They'd like to hear your early work.
I'm sure. I mean, it's a group of kids. So.
Yeah. All right. Next on this list, Stephen King, The Shining. Stephen King hated Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining. Now, let me be clear on this. I've read the book and I've seen the movie. And the movie, to be quite honest... Esmeralda, have you seen The Shining?
Yes.
Okay. Have you read the book?
I have not.
Okay. To be clear, the movie has very, very, very little to do with the book. I mean, Cooper just went way off into another. It's a ton different than the book. Now, having said that, I love the movie. It's not the book. It is absolutely not the book, but I love the movie. It's a great movie, and I, you know, here's the Stephen King's explanation for not liking it. And Esmeralda, if you had read the book, you would understand Stephen King's point. Because it's just so different.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen King probably made a lot of movie buffs cringe when he said he hated what Stanley Kubrick did to The Shining. He says, quote, "I had admired Kubrick for a long time and had great expectations for the project, but I was deeply disappointed in the end result. Kubrick just couldn't grasp the sheer inhuman evil of the Overlook Hotel. So he looked instead for evil in the characters and made the film into a domestic tragedy with only vaguely supernatural overtones. That was the basic flaw because he couldn't make the film believable to others." And then he also said that he was unhappy with Jack Nicholson's performance. And the reason why is a legit reason, a totally legit reason. Because King wanted it to be clear that Jack Torrance wasn't crazy until he got into the hotel. And it made him crazy. But in the movie, Nicholson plays him crazy from the beginning, which is pretty true. There's not a huge arc for Nicholson because it's like even in the interview sequence at the beginning when he's being interviewed for the job, you're like, something's wrong with this guy. He's a little. And it's because it's Nicholson, you know. He also described the movie as King described the movie as a big, beautiful Cadillac with no engine inside it. Which I guess that's pretty accurate. Dan, you've seen The Shining, obviously.
I have, yes.
Have you read the book?
I have not.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting to see, you know, because so many, first of all, Stephen King has written more books than any human being. And they continue to make movies out of them. I mean, look, The Dark Tower is coming out, part of the Gunslinger series. That's coming out in August. They debuted the trailer. It looks great, by the way, with Stringer Bell and Matthew McConaughey. And they debuted the trailer yesterday, and people are going to, you know, watch it and go, well, I don't like that adaptation. And then Mick Garris ended up working with King on another version of The Shining that aired on TV on ABC in 1997. Now, did either of you see that?
I had seen bits and pieces, and I heard the same thing, that he really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, well, because it was a lot more faithful to the book. I didn't think it was very good. I'm trying to remember who played Jack Torrance, because it was Rebecca De Mornay.
The guy from Wings.
Because I always get those two guys confused.
The crazy one from Wings.
Okay.
Crazy brother.
It's one of the guys from Wings. That's pretty much that's how I describe whoever those guys are. One of the guys from Wings is in Diner. One of the guys from Wings is in Sour Grapes. And then, you know. So Steven Weber played Jack Torrance in that, in which Rebecca De Mornay played Wendy. All right. So the next one here, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, your favorite, your least favorite movie adaptations of books. Anne Rice with Interview with a Vampire. After casting was completed for the movie version of Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire, she said Tom Cruise was, quote, no more my vampire Lestat than Edward G. Robinson is Rhett Butler. Oh, man. The casting is so bizarre, she said, it's almost impossible to imagine how it's going to work. When she saw the movie, however, she actually loved Cruise's portrayal and told him what an impressive job he did. She still hasn't come around to liking Queen of the Damned, though, telling her Facebook fans to avoid seeing that film that mutilated her books. I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of the Lestat books, of Anne Rice's books, and you also know, Esmeralda, that I'm a huge fan of Tom Cruise. But when I heard, that Tom Cruise was cast, I was like, what? No, that's terrible casting. Because if you were going to make it at that certain time period, the guy that was in my head when I read the books, the guy that was in my head that I think was in a lot of people's heads when there was Rutger Hauer. Rutger Hauer in his prime is Lestat. And when I heard Tom Cruise was being cast, I was like, that's the biggest mistake ever. Then I saw the movie and he kicked ass in it. And it was a great movie. A great movie, a fantastic adaptation until the final moment, until the ending. I hated the ending so much of that movie. I hated it so much that my ex-wife, my first ex-wife and I saw together. When I walked out of the theater, I was like, screw that movie. And I was like mad because the final moment in the movie, I hated it so much. And then my ex-wife had to go, look, hey, why don't you think about the first 2 hours of the movie that you loved before you start screaming about how the movie sucks? And she's right. I just hate the ending. I just hate the ending so, so much. But the rest of the movie is magnificent, and I love it. And then Anne Rice loves it. And Queen of the Damned, by the way, one of the worst movies ever. That was a terrible movie. They completely screwed that book up. So, all right, what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. And we got more authors who hate the movie versions of their books and more of your favorite and least favorite movie adaptations. Yeah. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Bird. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And that Jim Liskowski, our good friend, it's his birthday, so he requested a triple play of Matthew Sweet. That's the second one. Great song. Sick of Myself. So there you go. Hey, we are talking about authors who absolutely hated the movie versions of their books. And then also I have some lists here of the best and worst movie adaptations from books of all time. We got a ton of texts coming in. We got some phone lines that are open if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200. Here's Steve, the limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, buddy. Congratulations on the walk there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
And now I did read the book Jaws before the movie. I mean, before I saw the movie.
Yeah.
And in the book, there's a romantic affair with the Richard Dreyfuss character and the sheriff's wife.
Right.
And that was not in the movie.
Yeah, I ended up reading the book after I saw the movie, and they made some significant changes in it. For me, it's one of those cases where I actually think the movie's better than the book. That's one of those few cases, but yeah, I didn't read it until after I saw the movie. Because after Jaws came out, everything that was shark related, you know, because I was 10 when that movie came out, and I became a shark fanatic at that point.
My mom and her boyfriend took me to the Gateway Theater to see Jaws on my birthday.
Yeah.
And guess where we went for dinner afterwards?
I would guess the Gale Street Inn would be your,
attaboy.
There you go. All right, Steve, thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Gale Street Inn is fantastic, the greatest restaurant on the planet. George, one of the greatest people on the planet. And by the way, George can't make it to my my induction to the Walk of Fame. He's out of town that weekend. I'm so sad. I wanted George to be there. But anyway, Gateway Theater, that's where I saw Jaws as well. I think everybody, so many people saw Jaws at the Gateway, just like so many people saw The Exorcist at the Gateway, which is now the Copernicus Center. So there you go. Let's see. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
All right, buddy.
I think I saw Jaws out at Ford City Theater.
Ford City, yeah, there you go.
I think I took my 2-year-old daughter with me.
Jeez. All right. That'll make an impression.
Right. One of the worst movie adaptations I saw was, and it was probably Alan Rudolph's worst movie also. You know where I'm going with this, Breakfast of Champions.
Oh, man, what a terrible movie.
It's like, did they read the book at all? It's like very, it's bad. It was bad. I couldn't even watch the whole thing.
No, it was absolutely terrible, and I don't know what the hell Alan Rudolph was thinking. And it's not like Vonnegut's the most easy guy.
Right.
To adapt to the screen, but they did better with other movies than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, in fact, one of my favorite adaptations is George Roy Hill's adaptation of Slaughterhouse 5.
It's great. Slaughterhouse 5 is great.
Yeah.
Really great. God, Breakfast of Champions. Oh, God. Thanks, Mike. I had successfully forgot about that movie.
Yeah. Hey, another good one. It was Terry Gilliam's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I thought he did a great job.
He did, and it's still, for me, even though I enjoy watching that movie, when it was over, I was like, that's a really unfilmable book.
Well, it is.
It's just completely unfilmable.
He did manage to
to get something.
Yeah, he did. And it's a and God, I just remember seeing the movie and I'm like, man, this is, and I'm enjoying watching this, but damn, this movie, this book is unfilmable. So, all right, Mike, thanks, buddy.
Good point, Nick. Take
right,
care.
Take care, man. All right, we're going to take a break. We got more coming up here. Tons of texts are coming in. We got more our authors who hate the movies that they were based on their books and more of your favorites and least favorites. All right, we'll take a break. News is coming up next. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jim Liskowski. Triple Play Thursday. That's the third of the Triple Play. And that's Matthew Sweet, Evangeline, from one of the best albums of the 90s, Girlfriend, which got mentioned yesterday on the show because we were talking about Let Me Come Over, and they both came out around the same time. They're both 25 years old this year, and they both were played constantly while I was going through one of the worst breakups of my life after I was dumped by Leslie Presley. So... All right, Nick DiGilio here, Triple Play Thursday, yeah. Get your requests in, one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. We're talking about authors who hate the film versions of their books, and we want to hear from you, your favorite and least favorite movie versions of books. And Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another unbelievable, violent, bloody contest of Celebrity Name Game coming up. Got some texts here. Let's read a few of them as they come in, and you can join us, too. 312-981-7200. 630 area code. The early 80s movie version of Dune by Frank Herbert. And this is, I just want to spell this out. It's all caps. All caps with three exclamation points at the end. And it says S-S-S-U-U-U-U-C-K-S-S-S. So, sucks. The Sci-Fi Network movie version of the novel is much better. Here's the thing. I love David Lynch's Dune. I love it. But again, like The Shining, it's not a very faithful version of the book. Even though it's weird, I met Frank Herbert. I got my book signed, and he said he liked it. When the movie came out, I went down to Marshall Field's, and I got Dune signed by Frank Herbert, and he actually said he liked the movie. Now, the Sci-Fi Network version of it was more faithful, and it was longer, you know. So, Terry says, One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest and Planet of the Apes were just as good as the movies as books. Oddly, Ken Kesey is on this list of authors who hate the movie versions of their book. And One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest is a completely different... it's completely different. For those people who don't know, Dan, you've seen One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, correct?
I have, yes.
Have you read the book?
I have not.
That's one of those books, though, that was assigned in high school. People had to read that one in high school. Esmeralda, have you ever seen the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I saw the movie in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Have not read the book.
The book, you guys have both seen the movie, then you know who we're talking about. The book is told entirely from the point of view of the Indian. It's told through the Indian's eyes. And it's told in a completely different style. So, yeah, but it's a great movie. It is a great movie. And Planet of the Apes, I've never read the book, but I love the movie.
I had heard also that in the book, Nurse Ratched is much more sympathetic.
Yes. Yes. She's a total villain in the movie. Oh, man. Let's see. The Godfather is a much better movie than the book. Never read the book, but, of course, The Godfather rules. Do you think that there's an underground Catcher in the Rye movie out there somewhere? I was just telling off the air, it's Esmeralda, that when I heard years ago someone said that they were going to try to make a movie out of Catcher in the Rye, I was like, well, I'm getting on a plane now and stopping it. Don't do that. Please. Please don't do that. Steve says, my gold standard for movies that are as good as the book are To Kill a Mockingbird and The Right Stuff. Both great choices. To Kill a Mockingbird is a great movie adaptation of a great book. Esmeralda, you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I really remember enjoying that book, and then the movie was just...
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
His name escapes me.
Why am
Atticus
I...
Atticus Finch.
Yeah, Atticus Finch, but Gregory Peck.
Yes. Gregory Peck. He was amazing.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here's one, a question for Dan.
Yes.
How do you feel about the movie version of Grapes of Wrath?
I adore it.
Yeah.
You know, I think a good adaptation of, you know, the original source material takes it, is faithful of it. It really emboldens it, makes the spirit of it, but then adds, you know, one or two things. And,
yeah.
And the Grapes of Wrath scene that sticks out for me is when the kids are buying candy at the diner. And you know, they're looking at it longingly, and they don't have enough money. And the waitress goes, "Oh, you came in on Wednesday. You guys are lucky. It's half price candy today."
Yeah.
And they leave, and the you know the truck driver that was sitting there, he's like, "The you know, there is no such thing as a half-assed candy day." And she's like, "What's it to you?" And then he leaves her like a big tip. And you know, I mean, I'm getting chills just thinking about that scene. And that's not in the book. And that's just, but it could have been. You know, so.
Yeah, they did a great job. But that's a great movie and a great book. My pick for a movie that I thought was better. This is Steve talking. My pick for a movie that I thought was better than the book is American Psycho. I didn't like the movie, but I found the book to be almost unreadable. Listen, here's the thing about American Psycho. I whipped that book across the room while I was reading it. It got to a certain point where I just threw the damn thing across the room, and I said, "This is one of the worst books I've ever read in my life. It is unbelievably offensive, and I hate everything about it." And I was dreading the movie, and the movie rules. The movie is great, and Christian Bale is amazing in American Psycho. The thing about it was such a misogynistic and homophobic movie, and two women are responsible for that movie. A woman directed it and a lesbian wrote it. And they took that book and just twisted everything that was offensive about it and made it a dark and hilarious satire. And if you've not seen American Psycho, I can't recommend it highly enough. It is a tremendous movie that completely sidelined me. Like, when I went to see it, I was like, "Oh, God, this is going to be brutal." At 20 minutes into the movie, I'm like, "Oh, man, this is just, they're doing the right thing with this. They're making this a really, really dark and very, very funny satire with a remarkable performance by Christian Bale." Esmeralda, have you ever seen American Psycho?
Yeah, I read the book and saw the movie.
Oh, I hated the book. Did you like the book?
I remember thinking it was a tough read.
Yeah.
It was just kind of hard to just
Well, there's pages and so pages. Much. Pages and pages of just descriptions of him doing horrible things to women.
Yeah, and then just, like, the critiques of Huey Lewis and stuff. I was kind of like, I get it, but I'm like,
But it's so well done in the movie.
Yeah.
You know? And he's no less horrible a character, except he's a funny character. And, like, the whole situation. And it's just this devastating satire of the 80s in every way, shape, and form. And of, you know, of rich... You know, a business guys. I mean, the whole thing about the whole thing about judging each other's business cards, those is brilliant, so funny. And when he chops up Jared Leto, when he chops up Jordan Catalano, he's got the newspaper down on the floor. He puts on the rain slicker, dancing to Huey Lewis while he hatchets Jared Leto to death. I laughed my ass off during that scene. I love that movie, man. Terrible book, though. 815 area code. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The movie was absolutely awful. Yeah, it was pretty disappointing. Big fan of those books. Here's one, Esmeralda, 312. The Giver. Good book, terrible movie. So you made the right choice.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I couldn't.
Yeah.
No. Because there's things that they, in the trailer, you see that they changed that isn't in the book. And I was just like, no, I'm out.
Yeah. You know, a book that really meant a lot to me, and I've talked about this on the air before, my eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Nagel, gave me a book because I had the most book reports in eighth grade. And she gave me it, you know, like very close to graduation at the end of the year when I was 13 years old. She gave me a book called The Chocolate War by Robert Cormier. And it was a seminal book in my life. Like a book that really changed me, and it was at the right time. It taught me to question authority, and it taught me to be cynical. And I know that those are maybe two negatives. I don't think so, though. But like my worldview was changed by that book. It was an allegory about the Watergate, what happened with Watergate, and it was about a Catholic school. High school that was having their annual chocolate sale, and how a gang that pretty much ran the school were working with one of the teachers, one of the brothers at the school, to rig the chocolate sale because the brother bought more chocolates than necessary, so he wants the kids to sell more. And it's a simple premise, and Robert Cormier wrote it. It's a it's one of those young adult books, but it is a book that really kind of blew my mind. And after I read that book, I decided not to trust authority figures blindly anymore, ever again. So it taught me to question authority. It taught me about being rebellious, and it taught me about cynicism. And I'm forever grateful to Mrs. Nagel for giving me that book because it really helped shape my worldview at the age of 13. And they made a damn movie out of it. And Keith Gordon directed it, the actor who was in Dressed to Kill and Back to School. He directed it. And the kid, I always forget the kid's name, the kid who's not Anthony Michael Hall from Weird Science. You know who I'm talking about? Ian, I think he's got three names. Ian something Smith, I think, is his name. He's the lead. He plays Jerry Renault in the movie version. And it's not good, and they changed the ending, and I wanted to kill Keith Gordon because he changed the ending, like massively changed the ending of the book. Like there were certain things about it that were good. John Glover was very good, his brother Theodore, and it was and there were other great things in it. But it's Ian Mitchell Smith. Ian Mitchell Smith is the kid. And Adam Baldwin was in it. It was a good cast. They had some moments. It captured some great moments, and it had a real nice feel to it. But they changed the ending completely, and it changed the whole meaning of the book. I mean, I don't understand why. I still to this day don't understand why they changed the ending. Keith Gordon adapted the book, and I don't understand why he changed the ending. It made me so mad. And I was dreading it. You know, Esmeralda, like when you were talking about The Giver. Mm-hmm. That book means so much to me. The Chocolate War means so much to me that I was kind of like sitting in the screening room just like dreading it. Like they're going to screw up something that means a lot to me. And they did an okay job until the ending, and then they screwed it up. That's how I felt when I walked into the Charlie Brown movie last year. I was like, don't screw up my childhood. Don't you dare screw up my childhood. And they didn't, and it was great. So... All right, 312-981-7200. By the way, the author, Winston Groom, hated the movie version of his book, Forrest Gump. Clive Cussler hated my main man McConaughey's version of his book, Sahara. Dan, were you at the screening that I did at Bruinview?
I was.
Because we did a Matthew McConaughey double feature about, what was it, like 10 years ago or something like that, maybe? We did a Matthew McConaughey double feature that I hosted at Bruinview. We showed Dazed and Confused, and we wanted to get Reign of Fire, the dragon movie with him and Christian Bale, which is a phenomenal movie, but we couldn't get it. So we ended up getting Sahara. So you were there, Dan?
I was.
So you can attest to the fact that by 20 minutes into Sahara, there were about 15 of us left in the theater.
Yep.
Dazed and Confused was packed. We had a packed house. 20 minutes into Sahara, you could hear a pin drop in the theater.
And five of them were you, the Count, Broham,
right,
me, and Paula Cooper.
Right. And my ex-wife. Oh man, that was a good night though. All right, we got to break. We're a little late here. We got to get to the weather and the traffic. 312-981-7200. Talk and text for good movies and bad movies made from books.
I'm a going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby gone fishing too.
So fishing seems to be a theme this morning, Dan. Don brought it up when he was working with Jack Lemmon, talking about how Jack Lemmon was a fly fisherman. All right, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 815 area code requested Taj Mahal, and that is Fish and Blues. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We were talking before the break about American Psycho, and evidently Bret Easton Ellis hates it. Bret Easton Ellis doesn't think any of the film adaptations of his books are that great, save for maybe The Rules of Attraction, which, by the way, is a terrible movie. But he dislikes some more than others, though he worked on 2009's The Informers. He says the movie doesn't work for a lot of reasons. I don't think any of those reasons are my fault. God, I hate this guy. I just hate this guy. I can't stand him. And Ellis believes American Psycho never should have happened. American Psycho was a book I didn't think needed to be turned into a movie. I think the problem with American Psycho was that it was conceived as a novel, as a literary work with a very unreliable narrator at the center of it, and the medium of the film demands answers. It demands answers. You can be as ambiguous as you want with a movie, but it doesn't matter. We're still looking at it. It's still being answered for us visually. I don't think American Psycho is particularly more interesting if you knew that he did it or think that it all happened in his head. I think the answer to that question makes the book infinitely less interesting because of it. Yeah, you wrote a crappy book, dude, and they made a good movie out of it. They saved your ass. So. I totally agree with this one. Roald Dahl did not like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And, And I know that, like, this is sacrilegious, especially for someone who's 51 and who was a kid when the first movie came out, when Willy Wonka came out. I like Tim Burton's movie better. I like Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory better. I think it's more faithful to Roald Dahl's vision. And it doesn't have any of those crappy songs in it. Now, I like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I like it. And I think Gene Wilder rules. I like it because I grew up with it. But having read the book and then seeing what Tim Burton did, which is much better and much more faithful. Ever wonder why Charlie in the Glass Elevator hasn't followed in the silver screen footsteps of its predecessor, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? Because Roald Dahl felt the movie version of his book was, quote-unquote, crummy. He found Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka to be pretentious and bouncy and thought the director had no talent at all or flair. He vowed that film producers will never get their hands on a sequel to similarly ruin it, at least not in his lifetime. Yeah. So there you go. Richard Matheson also hated what they did to I Am Legend. And this was before the Will Smith version, because the movie was made twice before Will Smith was in. Richard Matheson has been annoyed by the adaptations of his book I Am Legend since 1964. The first one, The Last Man on Earth, starred Vincent Price, said, "I was disappointed in Last Man on Earth, even though more or less it did follow my story. I think Vincent Price, whom I love in every one of his pictures that I wrote, was miscast. I also kind of felt the direction was poor." Another version called The Omega Man starred Charlton Heston. "The Omega Man was so removed from my book that it didn't even bother me." That's pretty good. And when I Am Legend starring Will Smith was announced, the author commented, "I don't know why Hollywood is fascinated by my book when they never care to film it as I wrote it." The most recent adaptation, by the way, completely changed Matheson's ending because it didn't test well with audiences. Which is true. But that's one of the few Will Smith movies that I really back is I Am Legend, despite the ending. I like that movie, and I don't like Will Smith. And remember when we did that little exercise, if we could name three Will Smith movies that were good?
Right.
And it was really hard to do. Really, really, really hard to try and find three good Will Smith movies. Yeah. So, all right, we got a break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200, talk and text. We're going to go to film adaptations that are good and film adaptations that are bad and your thoughts on that as well. But we have to break here for the news coming up after this. Yeah. Nice choice for Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday, man. Yeah. 815 area code Taj Mahal. Hello, Josephine, on a Thursday morning. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Good morning. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about movies that are either really good book adaptations or terrible book adaptations. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. Got a ton of texts. We'll get to those in a second. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right, let's get back to it. We want to get Judy's been hanging on, so let's get Judy on the line. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Okay.
Hey. Well, I was going to say, for great books, I was going to say, of course, Rich Man, Poor Man.
Oh, yeah. I've not read the book, but I love the miniseries.
You know what? They're going to take it off at the end of October.
They're going to take what off?
Rich Man, Poor Man. Oh. It's on free of charge right now.
Oh.
And they're going to take it off at the end of October. And I looked in the Half Price Bookstore, and they want $80 for the movie.
Wow. Well, it's a miniseries. It's a lot. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's great. It's really, really great.
I like it because I can follow it.
Yeah, it's great, and it basically introduced the world to Nick Nolte too.
Yeah, he was good in there.
Terrific. Yeah.
And I also liked Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, Lonesome Dove. I've not read the book, but I really like the miniseries.
I do too. They show it all the time.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's great. Okay, Judy, thank you for calling.
Have you seen Centennial?
I have seen Centennial. Again, not read the book.
Yeah, I didn't read the book, but I did see the movie, and I have it. I recorded the whole thing.
Yeah, that's another long one, too, long miniseries.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, Judy, thank you.
Sure.
Take care. Bye. All right. Jay in Ohio. Hi, Jay. How are you, buddy? I wonder if he's coming in from Ohio Tuesday for my Terminator screening. The Pursuit of Happiness was a good book, terrible movie. Didn't read the book, hated the movie. Speaking of Will Smith. 815 area code says that I would say every movie adaptation of Isaac Asimov has been terrible. All right. 630 area code, Unbroken was a great book but a terrible movie. That was the one that Angelina Jolie directed a couple years ago. 262 area code says the Running Man movie is not even close to the book. The story in the book is far superior and would have been easy to make, and that would have made a great movie. 608 area code, the Firestarter movie is pretty faithful to the book. 630 area code says Stephen King's It is a great book, good movie and miniseries, and I'm stoked for the reboot. It looks great. The trailer for the new version of It is great. Speaking of Stephen King, let's fly down this list here. Carrie, great movie, different than the book. The Shining, we mentioned already. Cujo, fantastic movie. Never read the book. But the movie rules. Dead Zone, great movie containing the best performance of Christopher Walken's career. And a good book, a little bit different, but I love the movie. John Carpenter did Christine, better than the book, in my opinion. Children of the Corn, terrible. Firestarter, goofy, but I liked it. Silver Bullet, Gary Busey is in that movie. Corey Haim and Gary Busey is in a werewolf movie. I never read the book or the story that it's based on. It's based on a short story. Maximum Overdrive was from the short story Trucks. Terrible. And we talked about how that's the one and only movie that Stephen King directed. Stand By Me, which is based on the novella The Body. I think we can all agree that that is a great movie. The Lawnmower Man was based on the short story. That was a terrible movie, The Lawnmower Man. Awful. Let's see. Salem's Lot. They did a nice job with that on TV. And let's see, The Running Man. We already mentioned Pet Sematary. Terrible, terrible movie. But
totally agree.
Terrible movie. But that book, Vic. Have you read the book?
The book I read when I think I was in high school, maybe a freshman, maybe even been in junior high. But I read the book. And I'm telling you, Nick, when I went to bed at night, I couldn't sleep with the book in my room. I had to take it out and put it on the kitchen counter.
I'm not scared by that book. Vic, I was older than you when I read it. The book scared the hell out of me. That is one of the scariest books I've ever read.
It's the scariest I've ever read.
I mean, my God. And you know, there's a story that Stephen King, you can look this up online. Stephen King said that like you, Vic, the reaction that you had to it, he had while he was writing it.
Really?
Like he'd write certain
How
things.
How do you sleep with that mind in between your ears?
I know,
you can't,
man.
Put that on the kitchen counter at night.
He said that he would write something and then go, I got to leave the room.
Wow.
What the hell?
Yeah, I literally I would take it out and put it in the kitchen. And if I forgot and I was all tucked in my junior high bed, I would get out of bed and go take it.
That's
and then
fantastic.
Come back.
Fantastic. Esmeralda, have you read Pet Sematary?
I haven't. And my brother, when I was a kid, convinced me to watch it.
Well, the movie sucks, but, you know, I mean, Fred Gwynne rules in it. Let me just say that right now. Fred Gwynne, who was a damn national treasure, rules in Pet Sematary.
I can't get the guy with the squishy brain stuff hanging out of my head.
I'm telling you, Esmeralda, the movie is Sesame Street compared to the book. You'd agree, Vic?
Absolutely.
That book is terrifying. Dan, have you read the Pet Sematary?
Nope.
Have you seen the movie?
Nope.
Okay. You sound like you don't want to.
Correct.
Oh, man. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see. Oh, here's an interesting little tidbit here, Vic. A few years ago, at Flashback Horror Convention weekend, I got drunk with the little kid from Pet Sematary.
I remember
the little kid who came back from the grave. Yeah. He's not a little kid anymore, obviously. He's an adult.
Well, that would
but
be weird.
I ended up drinking.
Yes, I remember this story, but I couldn't remember who you got drunk with. Yeah, so it was the kid from Pet
Sematary. The little kid from Pet Sematary.
Wow, man. That's a very cool story.
Yeah. Let's see. The Dark Half. A pretty interesting, pretty good movie. Let's see. Misery. Tremendous. Great movie. Did a good job with it, too. Dolores Claiborne. A great movie based on a great book. God, I forgot about that one. I'm skipping all the Children of the Corn sequels that they have listed here. Apt Pupil, which was a good movie based on a novella. Let's see. The Green Mile. How about that one? And Dan, of course, you would have to agree that Shawshank Redemption, obviously.
You know, I've never actually read the short story. I think I'm a little afraid. I just, you know, I don't know if I want to go down that road.
It's an improvement. In fact, Dan, I will tell you this. The three films that Frank Darabont made based on Stephen King's stories are better than the stories. The Shawshank Redemption is better than the Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, the story. The Mist is better than The Mist, and The Green Mile is better than the story. Frank Darabont improved upon him, and Stephen King will even say that. So we've got The Dark Tower to look forward to, and that's the next one. So, and 1408, a terrific movie based on a short story that he wrote, a really underrated movie with John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson. So there you go. All right, we come back. We got a couple more texts to read, and we got some more of the best and worst film adaptations from books. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
I see a loving in my baby's eyes. I'm loving from my baby's eyes. Loving from my baby's eyes. Love you, baby. Love you, baby. Mama, now you know I do. Love you, baby.
Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah! 312-981-7200. 815 area code's Taj Mahal. That's the third one. Loving in my baby's eyes. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about movie adaptations of books, great ones and terrible ones. And we also talked about authors, real authors, who hate the movie versions of their books. And if you want to read that whole article, we have it on our Facebook page, Dan, correct? If you want to read that whole article about the 11 real authors who hate the movies that they made, you can go to Facebook.com/Nick D Show and like us while you're there. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Couple of more texts here. 312 area code. Starship Troopers, amazing book and underappreciated movie. Now, I understand. I've not read the book. I understand it's completely different than the movie. I love the movie. Starship Troopers rules. Dan, you got to love Starship Troopers, right?
It is an interesting watch, if nothing else.
Esmeralda, have you ever seen Starship Troopers?
I have not. I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah.
It's got...
Casper Van Dien is
right,
in it.
And Michelle, what's
Michelle
her
Williams.
Name?
No, not Michelle Williams.
What's her name?
Oh, my God. Denise
Richards.
Denise Richards. Michelle Williams. Ah!
It's a whole different...
Oh, yeah. My God. There's a question for you right there. If, let's say, go back in time about 20 years and say, hey, you know this girl on Dawson's Creek? She's going to be one of the greatest actresses that ever lived. if you would have said that about Michelle Williams, be like, what? Right after she did Halloween H2O. You know, this girl in Halloween H2O is going to be one of the greatest American actresses alive in a few years. And she is. But she unfortunately was not in Starship Troopers. Doug says All the Pretty Horses is terrible. I saw Matt Damon interviewed, and he basically said that they cut the movie to hell. Apparently, the guy that did the score pulled his work from the final edit because he didn't want to waste it. It's true. You know who, if I remember correctly? See, Billy Bob Thornton directed that movie, and he still wants to release his director's cut. His director's cut is like over 3 hours long, and the studio came in, said it was too long. They didn't like it. They cut the hell out of it to like a little over 2 hours, meaning like over an hour was cut, and apparently it makes no sense. Billy Bob Thornton disowned it, and I think it was Nick Cave. Dan, can you look this up? I think Nick Cave did the music for the movie and then hated the movie so much that he pulled the music, and they had to use a different score. So I didn't read the book, but the movie was not very good. 262 area code says the Great Gatsby movies suck because the book sucks.
You know, I've heard that a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the book. I had to read it in high school.
I remember enjoying the book.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it, but I hated the Robert Redford version is better than the Baz Luhrmann version. Although your boy is, it's Baz Luhrmann reunited with DiCaprio. You should have.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've seen the original.
The one with Robert Redford.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy from Law and Order.
The guy from Law and Order.
Yeah.
Why am
He's the cousin.
I don't remember. He's from who? What did he play in Law and Order?
The main lawyer.
Oh, Sam Waterston.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Sam Waterston. That's right. By the way, I have a friend who now lives in New York who does the best Sam Waterston imitation I've ever seen in my life. And it's so nobody does a Sam Waterston. So he's he's like perfected it. It's the only imitation he can do. But when he does it, you go, "Oh my God, you are Sam Waterston." Let's see. 765 area code says, though I didn't hate the movie version of The Outsiders, I still prefer the book. The movie's good, man. The movie, The Outsiders is good. Rumblefish is even better. I love both of those movies. Francis Coppola doing the young adult thing in the early 80s, man. Okay. According to Watch Mojo, here are the top 10 book-to-film adaptations of all time. The Shining, number 10. Number 9, Misery. Number 8, Silence of the Lambs, which is a movie I hate. But I have not read the book. But I do love the TV series Hannibal.
Did you like the other ones?
No, I hate all of them. My favorite though of all of the movie versions is Hannibal, where like he's eating brains. He's eating like whose brains?
Ray Liotta's
brains at the end. Gary Oldman is in that movie. It's all burned and stuff. That movie made no apologies for being a piece of crap. Like it embraced the fact that it was a piece of crap. Whereas like Silence of the Lambs was all pretentious. When in fact it was a horrible, homophobic, misogynistic piece of crap. But I love the TV series. Did you ever watch Hannibal, Esmeralda, on NBC?
Yeah, I watched. Oh. I remember watching the first season, and every episode just made me more and more uncomfortable.
It's so
but it was
good.
Really good.
It's so good. And they were leading up to season three when it got canceled. Season three, they were leading up to the Silence of the Lambs story. It would have had Clarice in there, and it would have had that would have been, and it would have, I'm sure it would have been much better than what they did in the movie. But yeah, no, Hannibal's great. If you haven't seen it, it's out there, man. Three seasons. By the way, Brian Fuller is the king. He's the guy who developed that. His new show, American Gods on Stars, is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. And I just think Brian Fuller is one of those guys like, why am I blanking? David Simon, who should just be in charge of all television. Put David Simon and Brian Fuller in charge of all television, and it's all going to be good. All right, number 7, The Shawshank Redemption, which we mentioned. Number 6, Jurassic Park. Not read the book. Number 5, The Wizard of Oz. I prefer Return to Oz. I know I'm the only person in the world. I loved Return to Oz. Esmeralda, did you ever see Return to Oz, like when you were a kid or anything?
No.
Oh, man, it's so good. Number 4, To Kill a Mockingbird. Number 3, The Harry Potter series. Number 2, Lord of the Rings. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And number 1, The Godfather. And then how about a few terrible ones before we break for the news? According to this, Pet Sematary, we've already talked about. Bonfire of the Vanities, considered one of the worst. Scarlet Letter with Demi Moore, that was awful. The Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando, considered horrible. Sphere, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and The Cat in the Hat are on this list. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Aragon, The Da Vinci Code, The Golden Compass, all of these are considered the worst. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I Am Legend, Alice in Wonderland, the Atlas Shrugged Trilogy, As I Lay Dying, and the Hobbit Trilogy. Those are considered bad. So, if you agree, interesting. Okay, we got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. Well, we got news. All that stuff is coming up. And then afterwards, we'll play another round of Celebrity Name Game.